المصطفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو يؤاخذ الله الناس بما كسبوا ما ترك على ظهرها من دابة ولكن يؤخرهم إلى أجل مسمى فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Amongst the primary purposes of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets alayhimu salatu wa salam was to establish the deen, including nurturing harmony and unity amongst the people and to eliminate division and discord. So to establish the deen, and in doing so, nurture unity, hearts become united, remove disunity and division. And you find throughout, if you look in Surah Baqarah, you look throughout, you find that وَمَخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ وَمَخْتَلَفَ, you find that إِلَّا بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ, you find after that, except for certain reasons, except for rebellion, but you find constantly وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ, constantly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reference division as what the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam came to abolish, came to eliminate, but the people then, after the demise of the prophets, began to become divided again. So throughout you find this theme. Now in one explicit verse you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that شَرَعَ لَكُم مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. That Allah has shara, meaning He's created the sharia, He's given for you, addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the deen, He's given the deen, the sharia, the religion, the like that which He gave to Nuh alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam. In what aspect? أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ, meaning establish the faith, establish the religion, meaning tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ, and do not become divided in that. Number one, do not become divided in beliefs. Number one, we are united in beliefs, that's true. But also, in the commentary, when Mufassir writes that to unite the groups and prevent division. One is in aqidah, one is in beliefs. We are united in our belief of tawheed, in the qualities of Allah, the aspect of Rasulullah being the final prophet and beyond. We are united in there. But even in practice, are we united? That doesn't mean we need to have the same views. Are we united in our hearts? Alongside that, foster harmony, cooperation, and a collective spirit. To the extent that in early Islam, there was a concept called mu'akhat. A concept, mu'akhat, which was that although they were not, the Sahaba were not literal brothers, but they were made brothers. So they were partners. But they were made into brothers, not literally, but into brothers where they would share everything. Assets, everything would be shared amongst them. Between this was called mu'aqad. Later Islam, this was removed. But early Islam, this was there. And amongst the wisdoms of this was that it fostered unity between the Ansar and the Muhajireen, those that migrated and those that were living in Medina. It created harmony and it created a brotherhood amongst them. Because they weren't brothers, but they were made to be that part where they were sharing all assets and everything. Now, let's give you examples of how this unity was fostered and how Islam, how the qualities and characteristics and the virtues alongside it foster this unity and harmony where hearts are connected. That through the laws, through the actual laws itself, and I'll explain in certain ways that you have chapters on Adabul Qadi, that there's like a hierarchy. You have the Sultan, you could call the sovereign, the king, whatever, not king, but the Amir. And then underneath, then you have the Hukama, you have, or the Umara, the governors. Then underneath them, they'll have Qadis, they'll have judges to resolve disputes. And you have chapters in the books of fiqh on the etiquette of a qadi, the etiquette of a judge. How does he judge? Not in a state of anger. A judge is not allowed to accept any gifts. Why? It could be bribery. And there are many, many laws, but this is all in our fiqh books, these are all included. So I explained that how the religion itself, through the laws and through practice and virtues, it creates this harmony. Because disputes are inevitable. But we need to have ways in which these disputes can be resolved. I'll give one example. In one hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وجبت محبتي للمتحابين فيا وللمتجالسين فيا وللمتزاورين فيا وللمتبادلين فيا. That my love becomes binding. Now Allah's love becoming binding, I'll explain mercy, serenity, peace, etc. But Allah says that His love becomes, authentic narration, that His love becomes binding on those that love one another for His sake. وَلِلْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ Those that sit with one another for His sake. That could be durus, that could be lessons, that could just be just to have a friendly conversation. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, for the sake of unity, you have that conversation. وَلِلْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ Those that visit one another for Allah's sake. That could mean somebody's ill, for iyadah you go. Or somebody has passed away, so you're going there for ziyarah, you're going there. It could be that you're going to give da'wah to somebody's house and you're going to invite them to the masjid. Visiting somebody for Allah's sake. Another one Allah mentions that, وَلِلْمُتَبَادِلِينَ فِيَّ Those that spend for one another, is those that spend for my sake, for one another. That could mean, you know, that's a da'wah. It could also be charity, sadaqah, any form. But look at all these aspects. Loving one another. Spending time that is sitting with one another. The aspect of visiting one another and spending actual something for one another. Allah's love becomes binding on these individuals. Now love becoming binding, number one, there are many different ways, but one is that love becoming binding means mercy. That Allah's mercy descends upon us. Now if His mercy descends upon us, they say that translates into peace and serenity. Person has that sukoon in the person's life. That's what the love of Allah entails. The love of Allah entails that your matters become easier for you. Not necessarily easy, but they become easier for you to persevere, to go through, because you have Allah with you. In Allah ma'ana, Allah will be with us. Alongside that is tawfiq. That when Allah's love becomes binding, and if Allah loves a servant, that person will not be deprived from a'mal. How can a person be beloved to Allah but be deprived from a'mal? So if a person is beloved to Allah, the person will have tawfiq to do the actions. I'll give another example. Rasulullah on how this is fostering unity. How, look at this hadith, it's just Allah's love, it becomes binding upon these individuals that are creating that love. Another hadith. يَسِّرَا وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا وَبَشِّرَا وَلَا تُنَفِّرَا وَتَطَاوَعَا وَلَا تَخْتَلِفَا That create ease, be lenient. وَلَا تُعَسِّرَا Do not be harsh, do not make things difficult. وَبَشِّرَا Give glad tidings and do not وَلَا تُنَفِّرَا Do not make people hate or do not make people become distant. وَتَطَاوَعَا Create harmony. وَلَا تَخْتَلِفَا And do not become divided. Another hadith. Fostering love and unity, harmony. Showing leniency. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions about Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam and his leniency and how he was as an individual, he mentions that because of these qualities, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ Because of the mercy of Allah, لِنْتَ لَهُمْ You are lenient with them. Otherwise, if you weren't, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ The sahaba, they would have dispersed. It was the qualities of Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam that made the people inclined towards him. Through the mercy of Allah. But he mentions that, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ Because of which you were lenient. If you were فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ If you were harsh-hearted or had that different temperament, they would have surely escaped. لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ They would have dispersed. They would have left your company. So that leniency, that forbearance, that tolerance. And remember, especially Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, he was dealing with many Bedouins also. They were not cultured. They were very harsh in their approach. They're coming and say, Oh Muhammad, none of us. I was still saying, Oh Ya Rasulullah, coming to the doorstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is in his own house, and the Bedouin is calling, Oh Muhammad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the mercy, coming out. Having to deal with a whole host and range of people, but having to show that forbearance, that hilm to deal with those individuals. Give another example on how Islam fosters that unity, and how I mentioned that there are always going to be disputes, but there are ways in which these disputes are resolved. There was an Ansari and Zubair radiallahu anh. And Zubair radiallahu anh, this was in the outskirts of Medina, and the water that was coming reached his garden, and he was using that water, and there was an Ansari that was there, the water would reach later. But there was less or minimal water that was reaching him. So the Ansari, I had this dispute with Zubair radiallahu anh, took the matter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because obviously you need a mediator. How do you resolve these conflicts? So they needed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the qadi and the judge of the time, because he's the prophet that's alive at the time. So they both went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they both went, they explained the situation, Rasulullah ﷺ mediating said to Zubair radiallahu anhu, the water comes to you first, use it, and allow the water to pass through so he reaches the Ansari. Now the Ansari wasn't happy with that. And he said the words, أَنْ كَانَ ابْنَ عَمَّتِكَ. Is it because he's your cousin? Well, وَلِيَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. He accused Rasulullah ﷺ of nepotism, saying that it's because he is your cousin. Rasulullah ﷺ, he was mediating. It was Zubair radiallahu anhu's right to take all of it. It was his right in the first place. The Ansari didn't have a right to that in the first place. But Rasulullah ﷺ mediating and trying to create harmony, that saying that, okay, why don't we compromise, come to a level in between, that you take it first because it's coming to yours, it belongs to you, but let it pass where it can reach him also. Rasulullah ﷺ said to Zubair, take your right and prevent the water altogether. Because there's no compromise, meaning it's your right in the first place, but we are trying to mediate over here, trying to come to a level of compromise in between, but he's not accepting it. So he said, take your right in full. So several things to be, and he mentions that this is possibly the reason why Allah revealed in the Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That you will never truly believe until you accept Rasulullah's outcome, meaning his judge. Now, we may not have Rasulullah with us, but his teachings are with us. So, we will not be true believers until we are ready to submit to the command of Allah. In a dispute, our desires may be one thing. But if the religion says that it's somebody else's right, we let go of our desires and we fulfill that. Until then, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. We will not be complete believers. This is an example where emotion took over and said the words of, it's because he's your cousin. When in fact, it was Zubair radiallahu anhu who's right in the first place. Number one, several things. Number one, mediation. Rasulullah ﷺ tried to come with a compromise first. So that, again, in every society, we need people that are going to resolve, you have those mediators that are going to help resolve a dispute. But being able to come to a compromise, it's an emotionally heightened situation, but being able to recognize and being reasonable enough to know that, let's come to a compromise. I'm not saying insult words like, is it because of your cousin? Making these accusations or these words, they're not conducive to a dispute. Or saying, you know, going and attacking the other individual, also throwing insults. In fact, Rasulullah ﷺ in one hadith mentions, خَصْلَتَانِ لَا تَشْتَمِعَانِ فِي مُنَافِقْ حُسْنُ سَمْتٍ وَلَافِقٌ فِي الدِّينِ. A munafiq, you will never find him having two qualities in his life. He will not have knowledge of deen, and he will not have good manners. Two qualities of a munafiq he highlights in there. Another narration mentions that there are four qualities of a munafiq, and if a person has these four qualities, he's got the characteristics of a true munafiq. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ, when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ, when he promises something, he breaks that promise. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرْ, when he makes a covenant, or when he is trusted with something, he violates that. And the fourth one, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ, when they dispute, he becomes immoral. How many times do we see that when there's a dispute, instead of addressing the matter itself, they go and throw insults at the opposite individual? It just becomes a full-blown war. And the matter that needs to be discussed is not being discussed, it's just throwing insults at one another. This is the quality of a munafiq. What the Jews once said to Rasulullah ﷺ, Assalamu alaykum. Right? Instead of assalam, assam meaning death be upon you. Aisha Allah hears that and says, Assalamu alaykum assam wal la'na. Upon you death and a curse. Rasulullah ﷺ looked at Aisha Allah and says, Ya Aisha, Inna Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifq. Allah is gentle and he loves gentleness. Meaning, the angels are giving whatever they're saying, the angels are saying, Wa alaykum. They're going to say, I don't need to respond. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقِ. Allah is gentle and He loves gentleness. وَيُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ. And He gives upon gentleness what He does not give upon harshness. We could respond with harshness, but the outcome is not going to be better than what He's going to give upon gentleness. And that's what it teaches. There are times when we're going to be emotionally heightened, our emotions are going to be heightened. But remembering these, recognizing that, having that love for one another, I'll end on this one point, where there's this narration of Umar, or there's this statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, where he mentions something beautiful, that how can we control it? He said, لا يكون حبك كلفا. Do not allow your love to consume you. And I'll explain. And do not allow your anger to become destructive, or your hatred to become destructive. So he asked, what does that mean? He said, if you love someone, don't be blindly attached like a child. Sometimes a person will not look beyond, oh, it's my family. And no matter the outcome of whoever is being oppressed or is oppressing, they look at it saying, no, this is my kith and kin, I defend them irrespective of who's right and wrong. Islam came to remove this sort of what is called usuba, this type of fanaticism. In one hadith mentioned, Unsur akhaka kana zaliman aw maghruma. Rasulullah also mentions the Sahaba that help your brother whether he's the oppressor or is being oppressed. So the Sahaba are confused, saying, we can understand if he's being oppressed, you help him. But if he's an oppressor, Ya Rasulullah, why should we help him? How do we help him? Rasulullah said, تَحْجُزُهُ أَوْ تَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ. Prevent him from oppressing. Not support him, prevent him. Now that's difficult. Because it's your own kith and kin, or your own blood, or whoever it is, but it requires that discipline and that religious association, that attachment to Allah to say that irrespective of what this person's relationship is with me, the religion comes first. That's what Islam came, and that's how unity develops. Irrespective of what nation we come from. We look at our masjid, look how diverse it is. And Islam and how we spread and how we continue to spread. Irrespective of who we are, where we come from. But Islam came to create this. And look at that narration I mentioned earlier, wajibat mahabbati, Allah's love becomes binding on these individuals. That's nothing insignificant, that's something major. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.